Good morning. Oh, good morning to those on in the States on the East Coast, and I guess late morning to those who are overseas. I'm Bob. I'm a compulsive eater. I've been in program since November 3rd, 2003. I've been abstinent since March 11, 2004. So 20 years. Next week will, God willing, be my anniversary date, and maintaining 120-pound weight loss. Here is a picture of me when I was roughly at my highest weight, around 300 pounds. At least that's what the scales at that time only went up to 300 pounds. So I just said I was 300 pounds. Who knows exactly what weight I was. I say I am a compulsive eater because I'm both a overeater and an undereater. An example of that is yesterday in my faith was a day of fasting, and a day that I usually avoided for many, many years in my recovery. And I said, you know what, that's, I don't want to mess with my daily routine and my food. It's going to mess with my head too much, right? And I don't want to be, I'm afraid of a boomerang effect. And then I started getting older and had to do m medical procedures, which required me to fast before that procedure. And I said, you know what? If I can do it for medical reasons, why can't I do it for my faith? So last year, I started doing that, and it actually worked out fine. And you know why? It was because I had a spiritual purpose to it. But that doesn't mean that the thoughts don't creep back in, right? So here I am, and I made it through the day fine. It wasn't an issue. Thank you to my higher power, who I choose to call God. But it still didn't stop me from saying in my head and having those thoughts like, hey, if I only eat 1,000 calories a day, how much weight can I lose, and how fast could I lose it? So I am sick in the brain even after, 21 years in program, and I'll always be that way. I'm not a normal eater when it comes to food. And that is why I still need this program as much today as I did when the day I came in. I am a people pleaser. I am a stress eater, definitely an emotional eater. And these are the triggers emotionally that I have to be wary of. I certainly am addicted to certain types of food. When I came in the program to stop eating those food. And a lot of them had to do with sugar and flour. So certainly when I stopped eating those foods, I stopped having, certain cravings for those foods. But that didn't stop the emotional feelings that I was having. In fact, it was even more difficult, because I didn't have food to go to. And I hadn't yet fully worked the steps, to realize that I needed to go to my higher power to help me with those feelings. So some of those feelings, I recently spoke on a section on the Big Book, and I talked about the Four Horsemen, which I really hadn't, talked about too much in the past. And it talks about terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. And these are a lot of the emotions that I had dealt with, in the past. Yeah, I explained, as I kind of made my own definitions for these four horsemen. So terror was like, fear or loss of control. Like, what had I done? So a lot of things, come up and I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? What have I done? And a lot of that came from low self-esteem, and comparisons and, I don't measure up. I'm the youngest of seven. And my older brothers could do no wrong in my opinion. And I was always the screw up, and I was never going to measure up. That's how most of my childhood went, bewilderment to me had a lot to do is like, what do I do now? I'm that total feeling of helplessness, oh, and I'll try another diet, that type of feeling. I'll just, that's how I went through most of, my teens and, into my 20s. Frustration was angry that I couldn't eat what I wanted and not, I wanted to eat what I wanted and not gain weight. There's a lot of other frustrations that I had, but that was the main one, that I really just wanted what I wanted, and when it came to food, I just wanted to eat whatever I could. And it's not fair that other people could eat anything and everything, and they didn't seem to gain weight. I have no idea what they did, but I know that I obsessed over those food thoughts, and most people don't. And then despair. Despair was the hopelessness feeling that I'll always be 300 pounds, and then kicking into depression. And that happened right before I went into program. So that was the late 90s. I had a very stressful job. And food was there for me. Food got me through a lot of that stress. I was killing myself, but I didn't know it. And I was always able to diet like a champion. I could diet for 6 months, and I would lose the same 65 pounds and gain it right back. Didn't know how to plateau, never did. I would lose and gain and lose and gain, but this was different. This was losing the weight and feeling helpless, feeling like I didn't want to diet anymore. I was tired of it. And that kicked into depression. And I was married at the time, just had my second child with my beautiful wife, who now, thankfully stayed with me through this whole process, and we're happily married for 31 years. And she ha I was hiding my depression so well, she had no idea. And that's another thing I'm very good at is that mask, right? That facade, putting on that happy face, even though I was dying inside. And people didn't really know what was going on. That the happy Bob was always around. In fact, when I joined program, my wife started saying, "Who is this guy?" Because I was having this straight-faced look, and I wasn't, I wasn't trying to hide who I was anymore. And she thought I was just very sad all the time. And I was, I know I'm very joyful and happy. I'm my true me. I'm feeling my genuine self now, that's really, what I was definitely hiding. I see my timer now. Okay. So when I came into program, that desperation was there for me. I had binged on a Sunday, and I woke up on a Monday, and I was talking to my wife, and I had already looked into OA. I'm a great person to do the research and not really act on it, and so that's what I had done. I had taken the 15 questions, passed that test with it with an A plus, but I still didn't want to pull the trigger. I was afraid of 12-step programs because I didn't know what they were. I thought it was going to be a weight loss program, and you were going to suck me in, and I was going to have to pay this $1,000 fee, and a surprise fee, and it's this type of cult situation, and I didn't know what was going on. That's what held me back. Finally, I just said, you know what? On a Monday after a binge, I made this phone call to a lovely woman, whose name is Doris, and I thanked her many times for picking up that phone. She's now passed on. What a wonderful woman. And she welcomed me and says, yes, please come to the meeting. And I did. And I walked into the room, and I was the only, well, there was one other guy. He was a newcomer. I felt very strange. I'm an introvert, very shy person. And here I walked into a room and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel totally uncomfortable. Where's the food? It's kind of when you went into a party and you're like, where's the food and the drink? That's where I'm going, right? And I need something to get me through this. And that's what I felt like. And here I am walking into an OA meeting. That's kind of how I felt. It was like, I don't feel comfortable here. And then everyone started opening up their mouths and sharing, and I was like, oh my gosh, I belong here. I couldn't share. I was so like, oh my gosh, I was so overwhelmed by the whole thing. And it took me 4 months of floundering and dieting and coming to meetings and not knowing what the steps were all about, but I was relating to the shares. But then I had another sugar binge, and I came back to the meeting, and I said, I need help. And while no one there was able to sponsor me, a woman took me to where there were sponsors. And I kind of felt duped by this. She took me to an intergroup meeting, and she said, "Meet me at this place on Saturday morning." And it was an intergroup meeting, and you know what? I did find a sponsor, but I also learned about service. And what a key part of my program service has been. But I learned about service, and I learned about people who had strong abstinence, and getting a sponsor was a game changer for me. I started working this program, and understanding what the steps were. I truly admitted my powerlessness over food, and I do that every single day now. I start my day on my knees and turn over my day to my higher power, admitting my powerlessness and asking God for help, asking God for help all throughout the day. And I say the set aside prayer every single day, so I don't screw this thing up. Trying to put in my influence on how this day is going to go. And I say, God, take that away from me. I have no idea what's going to go on today, and let me be open-minded, and to be teachable, and to do your will today. And that is my goal for each and every day. I used to feel had that feeling of uselessness, and no purpose, before I came into OA, and all of that changed by working the steps. I do feel useful today. I do feel like I have a purpose. I do know that that purpose is to do God's will and to help others and not people please while I'm doing it, to have boundaries, and to have self-care. There's a lot of things that I can do each day. People are like, I don't know what I'm going to do in retirement. It's like, heck, man, I know what I'm doing. I mean, I have all these things that I can do now. I just need, more than 24 hours in a day, right? So that's why I have to set boundaries even for myself, even with service, and to have balance in my life. And I struggle with that through the years. I'm a yes person. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. And then I started saying, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelming myself even with the good stuff, And I had to say, you know what? No, I can't do it all. So I started looking at my life and saying, What are the important things that I want to focus on in my life? You know what? And then I said, you know, a lot of it has to do with family and my faith and with OA and, you know, and only certain things. And if they didn't have anything to do with those things, then I have the right to say no. I was like, okay, God, thank you for that. And then I said, there's so many things that I can do even with just those three things, you know. So even within that, I need to have balance. And so then I started using my sponsor as a service sponsor, and I also use my wife. I bounce things off of her. And one of the things they started saying to me was like, if you're going to do that new thing, what are you going to give up? You know, and I was like, oh gosh, you know, but yeah, it was helping with me with balance that way. And I have given up some tough things, you know, and I say, you know what, maybe in retirement, that'll be one thing I take back, you know, when I stop working. One of the big things is now I'm a trustee, you know, one of your trustees, and I'm your treasurer right now, at the world level. And, I was like, I can't do that until I retire, right? You know, so I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I started realizing, well, maybe I could. I feel called to do it now. Why can't I try it now? You know, and I'm in my fourth year. I'm ready to, you know, I just put in my application to be for re-election, you know, for the elections coming up in this May. And I have been so blessed, you know, to do that service. I've done many things. As far as service, and you know, one of the things I've really enjoyed is just, you know, opening up a new meeting and seeing all these people come to meetings, you know, and to be the contact of a meeting. And, you know, that's been a wonderful gift. There's so many things that we can do in service, but I find that it was me holding me back in doing those things. I was just too afraid, you know, to do, feeling I would fail. You know, and all those feelings, all those defects that came up again, you know, that I had when I worked through the steps, you know. So what did I do? I worked them through the steps again, right? So yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, it's okay to feel that way, but what am I going to do about those feelings now? And that's what I love about the steps, is that I learned about my defects when I went through and did my step four. And then I turned them over to God and to another person, step five. And it was in, really in step six and seven that they were the game changers for me, where I said, okay, God, I don't know how, who I'm going to be, you know, if I allow you to take these defects, right? So there's where the step six willingness came in. I was like, sure, I want to be rid of these defects, but I still want those things that it gave me, that defect gave me. So that protection that I had, that, you know, faux, that fake protection that I had, and to let them truly go in step seven, I had to be willing to become a new person that God wanted me to be. And when I started looking at it that way, I was like, yeah, what an opportunity. God's given me a clean slate. I can let go of these things and become a new person. And even though I did that and I felt tremendously wonderful, what a release from the shoulders. And it was like, oh my gosh, from the head, everything. I just was like, wow, this is amazing. It still doesn't matter because, you know, my disease is still going to come at me at some point in time, you know, and saying, you know, you're a loser, you know, all of these things, you know, low self-esteem feelings like, oh, awkwardness that you have. And yeah, what do? You fight through them, you know, and you ask God for the courage to move through these things, and this too shall pass. I've been abstinent through, you know, the death of my parents. I've been abstinent through the death of my best friend that came very suddenly last few months ago. And yeah, it's there are tough moments, but I know that God's going to get me through anything. I look for those God moments in each and every day, which is a big difference in my life now. I expect them, you know, and I'm grateful for them. I also have, you know, my self-awareness, my spidey sense is just there, and it's like, boom, something's not right. What can I do about it? What's my action plan? So I love to use a tool of action plan. It was like, yeah, what's going on? I need to, reach out to my higher power, and I also need to talk to my sponsor and make that commitment. Early on in my program, I learned that a food plan was more about a commitment on what action I'm going to take when it comes to my food. And that's what the action plan has done for me as far as my life. It's like, what am I going to do today? And not just a to-do list, but a list of things that are going to help my recovery today. So what is it? So during this period of my faith, what can I do to make changes? Is one of the things I said is I'm going to call somebody every single day and make that a focus. So what can I do today that'll help my recovery and help other people in their recovery too? So
That's tough.
with that, thank you for letting me share.